Exactly, no pop.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastel Dog.
The straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales.
The biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
We are here and we are live. It is a beautiful Tuesday evening, Tuesday, October the 7th, the year 2025. Greg DeMarco, Patrick Goodell, Greg DeMarco Show, brought to you, of course, as part of the ChairShot Radio Network right here at
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
While you're at it, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/chairshot. Pick up one of those beautiful chair shot t-shirts because you want to look good. You want to feel good. You also want to support the cause here on all these amazing podcasts that we have, including the Bandwagon Nerds like Patrick O'Dowd does every Sunday or most Sundays. DWI podcast, Mindless Wrestling podcast. I shouldn't read them all off because I'll forget someone and it's not fair to the someone that I forget because they're all really good. So stick with it. Listen to the shows. Subscribe across your favorite podcasting channels. You will have a lot of fun. And you might even be a smarter sounding fan because of it. So, or you'll just think that we're stupid douchebags. And that's fine, too. That's wrestling. So, Patrick.
And the ringing endorsement that is stick with it is resonating very much. More. I got some bad news.
Okay. What's the bad news?
I got some bad news. I can only sort of hear sound bites.
What's that? You can only sort of hear sound bites?
Yeah, it's doing the fading thing.
Well, you just froze, so that's really good. Really exciting. Patrick Goodell. So we have been mired in technological issues since this show started, and now Patrick's here again. So
yeah, it's not good.
Unfrozen, which is very exciting. Let's see here.
Oh, but I did lose it. I know why, because I lost my Wi-Fi.
Ah, you once again lost the Wi-Fi. So Patrick's had some technology issues.
Now on 5Gs, which I eventually have to pay for if you get too far along.
So I bet you'll be able to hear the sound bites now. I just, my gut instinct is that you'll be able to hear the sound bites.
Taking it all. Several score. No, I will not take that loss. Taking it all.
Gotcha. That
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, I did the thing where I changed the setting in the Teams because it reverted back. It was good for a couple weeks and reverted back. With the new headphones or the wife's headphones, they're not really new, but I usually use earbuds and I still prefer them. That song sounds even more amazing on this. So I might play it again later just because they're
taking it all.
Exactly. No pop.
It was fun. After we started talking about Solo Sikoa, he got better.
I know, right? It's like he listened to the program.
Like, that needs to be studied. Like, we talked about Solo. Solo got better. I think we spent a couple episodes at different points talking about Sami Zayn. Now he's, like, one of the favorite acts people have in the company because of the United States Open Challenge. Like, we're back to being monitored, I think. We're not, but it sounds good.
Here's a funny thing. I watched SmackDown this week.
Yeah, me too.
Just because.
Yeah, no reason. It was a Friday. What else are you gonna do?
Just it was there. Watch SmackDown.
Stick with it.
Had a little extra time on a Saturday morning.
You stuck with it.
And in fact, Solo's little sitting at the table conversation piece.
It works.
His little speech. I was like, good job, Solo. I like you when you're not wrestling.
I want to go back to my stick with it comment. I said stick with it.
Can I be a wrestler pet peeve real quick though?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
I don't like wrestlers who wear gloves.
Who wear gloves?
Yeah, I don't like the gloves. Don't like it on AJ Styles. Don't like Solo's like little half biker gloves. They don't work for me. Any wrestler I've seen wear gloves. No. All right, you look like you're trying to steal second base.
Maybe he is.
And I'm just not a fan. And that is the one thing that holds me back as I watch Solo. I'm trying to take Solo seriously within gloves that have the little holes cut out for the knuckles. Like,
but he doesn't wrestle with those on. He cuts promos with those on. He comes out, but he actually, because when he wrestles, he tapes up the one hand heavily so he can do the thumb thing.
Oh, because he got don't care for it as an aesthetic, though. Never liked AJ Styles gloves either. But
at least that's a marketing. Like he can sell those. He does the whole P1 and the phenomenal. That goes back to the world class days. You froze in the P1 pose for a moment there, thanks to your internet. So that's a great way to freeze.
It's gonna be a good day. I have like full Wi-Fi bars, so I don't know what's going on.
World class championship wrestling. Brian Adias used to use the Asiatic Spike, which is pretty much what Solo uses as a finisher. He wore a glove. Of course, the best gloved wrestler. We should do a top.
Wyndham.
We should do a list of the best gloved wrestlers ever. Maybe I'll call this episode "I Glove You, Man." I don't know. Maybe I won't. We'll see.
No.
But yes, I shall. No. What do you mean, no?
You just made the list.
But yes, it is absolutely Barry Windham. It is absolutely Barry Windham is the best. Well, and you know who else kind of wears a glove?
Acknowledge me.
Oh, there goes Patrick again. Oh, he's back. He was gone for a second. Now he's back.
Greg may be on a solo show. Like, and not supposed to
Roman show does the trigger thing with the glove, and then but they're like not even full on gloves. I mean, they're like, it's like one part glove, one part glove Infinity wrestlers. Gauntlet.
Brutus Beefcake.
Yes. No. Brutus did wear the gloves.
No.
Many women
with
have
the
worn
fringe
gloves.
And shit. Like, what the fuck?
Funny, I was in like second or third grade. I was Brutus Beefcake for Halloween. So, yeah.
Why did you do that to yourself?
This was like pre-barber days. Back when Brutus was cool.
Oh, like when he was with Greg Valentine.
Part of the Dream Team, yeah. That was a bad idea on my part.
The Dream Team.
Yep, the Dream Team. So
a lot of tag teams involving Greg Valentine in the WWE were bad ideas.
Rhythm and Blues. I mean.
Bad idea.
The Dream Team was legitimate in the ring. They were a great tag team together.
Right.
You know, Greg the Hammer boring. Valentine. Of course. Yeah, they're boring. Greg
the Hammer Valentine was good if you needed 45 minutes and a no to kill. Like, that's what Greg Valentine was for.
Probably amazing
it takes
on
him,
the house
as Bobby Heenan would let you know, mm-hmm. takes you a good 20 minutes for Greg to even get warmed up.
Yep. He was the perfect house show era wrestler. Like, he could do anything.
Right. This is definitely where you wanted to take the show today, right? This is what you planned.
Talked about gloved wrestlers and Greg the Hammer Valentine. All right. I do have
that's podcast title, Gloved Wrestlers and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Right. That goes back to when I guest hosted Pod is War once and we did an episode called Four Spears and a Weak Ass Jackhammer. All right. I've got a couple things that I want to talk to you about and I want to get your opinion on, and then we can go into, we can talk a little bit about Crown Jewel, a pay-per-view that Patrick Dow could actually watch if he wanted to, because it's in Australia. So, which means it starts at 5 a.m. my time. Well, you can't because you don't have the ESPN service, but you could if you wanted to, because if you wanted to, you would sign up for ESPN. So, yes.
But I was told I would get it.
I don't think you were told that. I don't think, I think you assumed you were, that.
It's actually in the language. In the language, when they rolled the thing out. Anyway, this is a whole other conversation that we don't need to have.
That I've heard you on Bandwagon Nerds.
And I have spotty internet. We didn't.
You have what? Really bad internet.
And that froze again.
Yeah. You said we don't need to talk about this.
Reconnecting me.
You talked about it on Bandwagon Nerds. Patrick sucks right now. Like, Patrick in general doesn't suck as a human being, but his internet right now. And there is legitimate work going on in his area on the internet. So it's not like this. Like, we knew going into this experiment of a podcast this week that Patrick O'Dowd was going to have problems. He's on his phone, first of all.
It is really showing out.
It is, yeah. Like, next this disconnect.
This is not good podcasting. This is not good podcasting.
Next disconnect for Patrick might be permanent. So we will see. We will see what happens.
Exactly. No pop.
All right, Patrick O'Dowd. I'm going to read you something, and then I might have to send it to you so you can read it. Actually, I'm going to send it to you because just in case you lose it. Will you see a message if I send it to you on Teams? I don't even know.
It should pop up as a chat.
All right, here we go. I'll send it to you right now. This way you have it, just in case you freeze while I'm reading it. This is a quote from our good buddy Dave Meltzer, who wrote about AEW president Tony Khan's decision to bring back Andrade.
Oh, yeah. Andrade, I saw this quote.
Andrade returned last Wednesday on Dynamite after his WWE release took place. He had no... he had no 90-day period because he was fired, essentially. He also didn't have a 90-day period last time he got released, because I do believe talent can actually waive the 90-day no contact or no compete clause. It's just that, why would you? Because you get paid during that time, and Andrade didn't want to do that. So here's what Dave Meltzer said. Unlike with guys like Penta, Phoenix, and Ricky Starks, who, of course, NXT champion Ricky Saints, who it became clear weren't interested in staying, and Khan took them off TV, Andrade gave Khan the belief he was staying. Khan believed they had an agreement for a renewal that wasn't yet signed. Sounds a lot like Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons. That was my comment, not Dave Meltzer's. He pushed him until the end, even though those in wrestling who knew him said he was going to WWE. Then his contract expired and he left. He is talented in the ring, but geez, everyone is. That's what Dave Meltzer said. Everyone is. So think about that when he gives somebody 2.5 stars. Even 5 years ago, he was a very unique talent, but now there are so many guys at his level with better speaking ability and charisma. Now, if you don't think Andrade has charisma, you don't understand charisma. Speaking ability, yes. Andrade issued a response to Meltzer via Twitter/X. And at Dave Meltzer at WON, you talk too much shit without proof. And sir, I'll only tell you one thing. When my contract with AEW ended, I personally went man to man to thank Mr. Tony Khan, all capital letters, for the opportunity to be in AEW. And that's all I'll tell you. If I wanted to talk more, I would show you that you're wrong about many things. But you keep killing the business. And then something in Spanish. So... I don't know if I'm liking this because of what it means for Tony Khan or what it means for Dave Meltzer. Andrade's kind of just like he's like the little stick you put in the Fun Dip. Like, that's Andrade for this example right here. He's the stick in the Fun Dip is what he is. Patrick froze again, by the way. So to me, this proves a lot about Tony Khan and a lot about Dave Meltzer. Patrick O'Dowd, while you're not frozen, your thoughts on this whole interchange, the comments from Dave Meltzer, the comments from Andrade.
Well, I'm surprised he didn't include some of Dave's responses to people when they asked him, you know, what does it feel like to be owned by Andrade? And he's like, well, he didn't say that anything I said wasn't true. And I was like, well, yeah, he kind of did.
He kind of did, yeah.
But, okay.
He absolutely said that.
And it just reaffirmed a lot of... Dave's wearing it right now in a lot of different ways. I don't know if you've seen the guy who epically explained in painstaking detail the reality of what TV executives give a shit about, and it's not the ratings that he keeps touting.
Oh, yeah.
It is a multi-paragraph piece of wonderfulness that Meltzer couldn't even respond to because he couldn't respond to it. It was so well done and nuanced and filled in a lot of blanks. But this is the thing, and we've known this for a while. One, Dave does get information. We know this to be true.
We're one of the few
now,
people
the
who
extent
say that.
Of what he
what? We're one of the few shows who will actually acknowledge that. Yeah.
Right. What we also recognize is that a lot of that information is pretty darn curated and given to him in a way, in my opinion, that is designed to make whoever's giving that information to him the giver of information that's in the best of. And so, you know, as you read through that, where he's like talking about Andrade as if he, you know, did something shady that Tony Khan maybe naive enough to be working on handshake agreements, which that's just dumb. If like the famous Carney wrestling like lifestyle, like that never works. So if that's true, then you got no one to blame but yourself when Andrade took his WWE deal when his current deal expired. And, you know, I'm sure he thanked Tony. And I'm sure, actually, I'm willing to believe that Tony may have thought that Andrade was coming back. The, like, pushed him to the moon part, I don't watch AEW enough to really know if that's true or not.
What was that?
Or what pushed him? Meltzer talking about, like, Khan
was
so
pushing him.
That Andrade was coming back, that he was pushing him. And
I wouldn't say he pushed him until the end, but he used him. Yep. He used him until the end. Unlike Ricky Starks and Penta and everybody who he took off TV completely.
Which, his prerogative, but seems silly.
And if you listen to some of the comments, not only does he take these people off TV, he won't respond to their texts. He won't respond to their calls. He won't do anything. Now, that might just be a laser focus. I'm focused on who I'm using and what's on TV. I get it. There's only so many hours in the day, and you have to sleep at some point while you're chilling on your desk.
Or he's conflict avoidant and a coward and doesn't want to talk to people when they're not being used.
It's probably more accurate. Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, at the end of the day, I just think I tend to believe the wrestler a little bit more than I believe, and that's saying a lot because Andrade may not be the most reliable of narrators. And it could be my own bias against Meltzer and the information he gives and the way he gives it. But yeah, it just sort of reinforces a lot of things that we already assume and believe about Dave.
Yes, and it should also reinforce some of the things that we know and believe about Tony Khan. Here's why. I think Tony Khan is trying to use things like this to create the attitude, the Monday Night Wars era defections. Like, I think he thought Andrade taking off that mask last Wednesday on Dynamite was going to be the biggest fucking deal ever. I really do. And Andrade showing up and joining the faux NWO, which is what the Don Callis family really is right now. I really think it's a faux Bullet Club, but it's definitely faux NWO. Like, it's got so many members that who the hell even knows, like, who's in it and what they're doing and all of that. There's a list of like 12 members of the Don Callis family. It's absurd. And Andrade's one of them. Even though there are other people he makes more sense with in AEW, Andrade's a member of the Don Callis family. And whatever. Now, here's the funny part. Santos Escobar's contract expired last night at midnight. Reports are he was offered a contract, turned it down. He didn't like things creatively, whatever. Like, that's your prerogative. You want to turn down money, do that. Roosh is already like, come on over, like, show up tomorrow. If Tony Khan thinks Santos Escobar, and I love Santos Escobar, like, one of my, like, he was a favorite of mine in NXT. He was like literally my favorite wrestler in Lucha Underground as King Cuerno. And now here, if anyone thinks him showing up in AEW is a big deal, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's
what not. If he shows up as King Cuerno?
Well, he can't because they don't own the trademark. But he doesn't own Santos Escobar either. He'll have to probably go back to being El Hijo del Fantasma. I don't know if he'd put the mask back on. That wouldn't make any sense. Andrade didn't. So, but it's like, and it's weird because the other day I was watching SmackDown, like you talked about, and Humberto Carrillo and Hector Garza had a match. And there was no mention of Legado del Fantasma, no anything. Like, they were just out there as Berto but when they wrestled in AAA, I think he was there a few months ago. So kind of told me like that whole shtick was done, like that faction's done. Dragon Lee's out here on Raw, teaming with AJ Styles. Not a single mention of the LWO, with Rey Mysterio being out on injury. This doesn't bode well for Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro. Like, they're probably going to get released or their contracts are going to expire. Like, it's just, it's WWE. Like, they don't need these people. They don't need any of that stuff. So Patrick froze again.
Did you not?
But still here.
I did.
It's just, it is what it is at this point. Like, there's very few, these mid-carders aren't splashes when they make their debut. And it's weird because most of the AEW mid-carders make their debut in NXT where they are a splash. But WWE mid-carders make their debut in AEW and the live crowd will pop for it because it's a WWE guy coming over and the internet will pop for it. But again, that's like 10% of the viewing audience of pro wrestling, most of which is WWE. So a week later, it's largely forgotten about. So that's also kind of where we are. All right, I'm going to shift gears to another suggestive topic that someone put out there. Suggestion, not suggestive. I'm going to pop it into the chat as well for Patrick O'Dowd, just in case. This is a much shorter one. This is shared by a wrestling website that was just sharing somebody's tweet. And the tweet is as follows. Proposition. I love this. This just cracks me up because this kind of stuff would never happen. But AEW lets Edge wrestle John Cena in his last match. In return, WWE sells the Edge trademark to Adam Copeland. Now, here's my thing. You're shaking your head. I love this idea. I really do. Is it going to happen? No. But let me ask you, all right, taking off any ill feelings that we all have towards AEW, we all being Patrick Down and Greg DeMarco. Would you rather see John Cena versus Gunther in John Cena's last match or John Cena versus Edge in John Cena's last match?
It's not about the reason I'm shaking my head isn't about the match itself. Okay. I'd absolutely want to see John Cena versus Edge. It's not even close to a comparison or a question.
Right.
It's just I'm shaking my head because it's so delightfully naive to like it's fun to throw out there, but on what planet would the WWE, who you know by most accounts now that we are a TKO operation, loving making the monies, throw away a trademark that they can still market the shit out of forever at different times with the nostalgia play or when Edge finishes wrestling and comes back inevitably to the WWE as a legend and for his, you know, Hall of Fame speech. Like, why would the WWE give up that, the thing that continues to make them money, for a one-off Saturday night's main event or PLE match because it's, quote, what the fans want? Kids, I'm just going to tell you. You want whatever the WWE puts in front of you, and that's that. Like, there is no what the fans want. Care what you say you want or what you tell them they want. They kind of care, but they don't really care. They know that whatever they put out there, like, you're going to enjoy it. I know this because I went to Monday Night Raw, haven't watched a television program of Monday Night Raw everything they put in front of me, I was like, yay, WWE, woo, I love it. And
you bought a hat.
And that's just the way it is. And I bought a hat. It has its college number on it. But my point here, and no, I don't believe that the WWE just shits all over their audience and doesn't want them to watch anything that, you know, that you all say you want. And I'm sure in some world they would love to be able to give you a match of John Cena versus Edge as part of John Cena's retirement tour. However, they didn't want Edge in the capacity that Edge wanted to wrestle, which is why he left the first place and went over to AEW. He'd done literally everything he could do in the WWE and that the WWE would let him do. So he went over to AEW, where he enjoys a very nice contract and is doing things that he may not have normally gotten to do here at the WWE. And everybody can be happy with that. And, you know, he paid tribute to John Cena. John Cena paid tribute to him back and forth, which is also what fuels this. And that's fine. And I'm glad you won that. I just think a broadly naive and silly proposition from the angle of, this is still a business. We're still in it to make money. Why would we hand over a trademark, even if it was to Adam, who is currently working for the, you know, for the competition, to use that name that was made famous in the WWE? Like, it's not like AJ Styles. Like, AJ Styles, that's his name. Goes with him everywhere. That's why they like to license different names. That's why they change the names, so that they can keep them and make the monies. I'm sorry. I know you liked the proposition. I just think it's just a sit. Like, I read that and you saw me shake my head, because it's like, come on, man. Like, I understand what you're getting at. That is a grossly one-sided deal for the competition.
Well, that's the funny thing.
Why? Because the quote-unquote competition, or Adam Copeland,
yeah,
if you will.
Because here's the thing about that. First of all, people are thinking that his deal is up because he signed in September a few years ago. And so he said he was leaving in September. He's off filming a movie and he'll probably be back. Who knows? Maybe he does come back. Like, he's really good about keeping these things secret and showing up and it being a big deal when he shows up. Like, the man came out of retirement and nobody knew. So that's, even like Christian didn't know, like nobody fucking knew. When I first read that, I read it as selling the trademark to AEW and not Adam Copeland. And we forget, we often forget, old WWE, not TKO WWE, but old WWE, did release the Cody Rhodes, the trademark for Cody Rhodes to become Cody Rhodes again while he was in AEW. And they didn't have to. And it, apparently it was Triple H is the one who said to do it. Now, I'm sure they were like, because we're going to bring you back someday. Like, it was that, right? And that's kind of my thinking here, too. And I don't think they should sell the trademark to Edge. I think they should just give the trademark to Edge. Because he's going to end up back in WWE someday. Like, my opinion is that his last match, now he may not, maybe he'll be like Sting, his last match will be in AEW. I think Adam Copeland's last pro wrestling match will be in WWE. I do. He's already in the Hall of Fame because of that first retirement, but I think he would retire in WWE. I don't know that for sure. It's just a personal prediction. I don't know. I would love it. I don't want John Cena's last opponent to be Gunther. I love Gunther, and I've enjoyed everything Gunther's done. I have not missed Gunther while he's been gone.
Right.
And when he comes back, I don't want him right back in the title picture. But Gunther has always been in a title picture. And even the Goldberg feud, which didn't need a title, involved a title. So to me, If Gunther comes back, I don't want him in the title picture. I don't need Gunther beating John Cena. I would rather see Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns or Braun Breaker be the final opponent for John Cena in his career, not Gunther. But maybe Cena wants Gunther. I don't know. Cena wanted AJ. Cena got AJ. I still maintain Cena was going to wrestle Drew McIntyre in Australia. Why do I maintain that? Because Drew McIntyre was on the poster for Crown Jewel and is not on the card. And he's the only wrestler who was on the poster, is not on the card. AJ Styles is on the card wrestling John Cena. So I do think Cena asked for that and got it. and got it changed. And no offense to Drew McIntyre. And like I said before, Cena's got two Raw appearances coming up. And if he wrestles Drew McIntyre on one of them, you know that match got bounced for the AJ Styles match. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Unless Drew's his final opponent. I wouldn't mind Drew McIntyre being John Cena's last opponent. You know why? Because I would love to have 2 years of Drew McIntyre promos reminding us he retired John Cena. So
I would just like Drew McIntyre to win a fucking match that matters.
Right. I know he loses. And then when he does win, someone cashes in on him and yeah, all of that.
But. I want to like Drew McIntyre more than I can because I just don't know that any feud that involves Drew McIntyre, where does it go? It goes to Drew McIntyre eventually losing.
He won the feud with Damian
Priest. Redoing his shtick.
He won the last
match. Yeah, I guess he kind of did.
He won the last match just so he could then challenge for the title and lose.
I guess if that's how you define.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Who knows? And then he gets mad about losing his title match and he'll beat people up backstage for he quote out of control and then go after, you know, some whoever else they go after. So I don't know. Anyway, that wasn't what we were talking about.
I don't even remember who he's feuding
Back to the original question.
Who is Drew McIntyre feuding with right now?
What?
He has a feud right now. I can't remember who it's with. Who?
Sure. I'm sure it's very important.
Right? Because it's not.
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It's somebody on SmackDown.
It's hard to take.
I can't fucking remember for the life of me. Oh, well. Somebody will tell us.
Well, because who attacked Priest this week?
Who what?
No, nobody attacked Priest this week. Sorry. Got it all confused. No,
Priest interfered in Aleister Black's match. And now they have their last man standing match.
That's what it was. The other way around.
People still are like, they're like, that should be on the pay-per-view, on the PLE. People still forget that TV is more important than PLE right now. Like, it is what it is. So.
Right.
And we'll talk about the PLE.
I do appreciate that we have, you know, Karrion Kross 2.0 in Aleister Black.
He's way better than Karrion Kross.
No Scarlett. He's better, but it's the same fucking story with no Scarlett. That's what it is. I watched him like, oh, you're Karrion Kross's.
Him doing the shtick works better than Karrion Kross doing the shtick. Like Aleister Black's more believable. There was a recent comment.
I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm not saying it's not good or bad. I'm saying same-sies.
Okay.
You may enjoy it more.
Right. All right. We're going to go to commercial.
All right. Go to commercial before I freeze.
We're going to come back and we're going to try to preview a PLE. So that Patrick knows nothing about. So we're going to do that. Give us a moment. We'll be right back here on the Greg DeMarco Show.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
You just made the list!
Bitch!
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 All right, we are back. Second half of the program. This weekend, WWE does present Crown Jewel Perth in Australia. Of course, Crown Jewel was kind of seemed like it was made for Saudi Arabia, but their schedule changed with Royal Rumble and WrestleMania coming, and so now it's in Perth, Australia. I think the Australian crowd will love it because that's what it's an international WWE event. Like they're going to love it. We do have, it's the 7th Crown Jewel event. That's insane. I didn't realize there were that many Crown Jewel events already. So, we're going to talk about our matches. Of course, we've got 5 on the card because why wouldn't we? Who will win, who should win is how we're going to talk about it. And we're going to go through from beginning to end. Monday night on Raw, we had a match that everyone expected. Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed. This is the second PLE where Bronson Reed gets to wrestle Roman Reigns. So good for Bronson Reed. It's in Australia. Bronson Reed is Australian. And it is an Australian street fight, which Bronson Reed claims he is the king of, and it's why he got signed to WWE to begin with. Patrick O'Dowd, Bronson Reed versus Roman Reigns, Australian street fight. Who should win? Who will win?
In my opinion, Bronson Reed should win, because how huge would that be for Bronson Reed? But Roman Reigns will win. You don't win in your hometown, country, continent. You just don't. And two, it's just too set up with this idea of Bronson Reed being the master of the Australian street fight. Just don't feel the boss. So I'm going with Roman.
I'm with you. Bronson Reed should win this match. But given the presence of Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker will be there, and who knows, maybe a new member of the Vision, looking at you, Obafemi, who lost the NXT Championship and hasn't been seen, unless he returned on NXT tonight, and I don't know yet, which is always very possible. I don't know. For some reason, I'm going to say Bronson Reed will win. Not clean. It's a street fight, so there's no such thing as clean, but like there will be major assistance in Bronson Reed winning this match. I will go with that, but I'm going to give it to Bronson Reed to win that match. Next up, we have a tag team match because we're in Australia and Rhea Ripley must wrestle in Australia. And I agree with that. You'd be stupid to not have Rhea Ripley wrestle in Australia. However, this match is one of the best built matches on the entire card. So I'm going to give him credit for that. Roman Reigns.
You've got Asuka making memes every 5 minutes. It's awesome.
And not only that, Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed is a well-built match on this card as well. Like, this card is actually pretty well-built when you think about it. But we do have Rhea Ripley and Io Sky teaming up against Io Sky's former Damage Control partners, the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. I guess I'll go first on this one. Who should win and who will win, in my opinion? It's hard to say who should win because it's a tag team match with three people atop the division and one not atop the division, and Kairi Sane. No one needs the win here, but this match isn't going on last. It'll probably go on first. I don't know. I just don't. I just think you shouldn't have Rhea Ripley lose in Australia in terms of your crowd, how they're going to react, how they're going to behave. So my who should win is Rhea Ripley and Io Sky, and my who will win is Rhea Ripley and Io Sky when Rhea Ripley pins Kairi Sane to win the match. And then we'll see what happens from there. Patrick O'Dowd, Io Sky, by the way, is literally, again, she came out at WrestleMania 40 to wrestle her match against Bayley. No one gave a shit. No one cared. She didn't get a pop. She didn't get anything. She came out of WrestleMania 41. Huge pop. So Io Sky has become a major star for this company. And the reactions that she gets now definitely show it. And again, stick with it. Like I said earlier, they stuck with it with Io Sky. And look where we are now. So good for them. Patrick O'Dowd, who should win? Who will win?
See, I think... I actually think Asuka and Kairi should win this match, especially with what they've been doing. Like, I feel like Asuka's been on fire of the four of these. I think all four of them have been really, really good in this story, but I think Asuka's been the highlight, and I think she's really been phenomenal, and not just with the stuff in the ring. Like, I no joke, the stuff outside of the ring, the social media stuff, the people being like, oh, look, Asuka discovered Photoshop. And the things that she is posting in character makes this something that I think could have legs, in the way you keep it with legs, especially since none of them are really doing anything in particular right now, is to have them continue this maybe another month into a Survivor Series match. And to do that, I think Rhea and Io need to lose. Unfortunately, I think that it will be a situation where Rhea and Io win, and then we do the get their heat back sort of heel move after the loss. to keep it going.
I mean, yeah, I they don't have to win here because you have TV, so they can very easily continue the program on TV and get to Survivor Series. I agree with you. I do think all four of these women will be involved in the women's Survivor in the women's War Games match. I honestly think you're going to see Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. I think Bayley will eventually turn heel so she can be on the heel side with Lyra on the babyface side. Like, the teams just kind of line up very easily with what they would do for the women's War Games match in San Diego, and they will do that. But yeah, I'm with you. You said a key word there in your analysis of the match, and that word was phenomenal. Speaking of phenomenal, Patrick O'Dowd, our next match features the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, going one-on-one with John Cena. Yes, AJ Styles gets one more opportunity to beat up John Cena. And I loved when he cut that in his promo. Again, they say the match doesn't need a story. I think they've done a tremendous job on television with the videos and everything like they did on Raw this week, telling the story of this match and you know, the times they fought each other and AJ won the first time. And of course, Cena did the Styles Clash, which, remember, Cena was doing other people's moves because he wasn't going to get to wrestle them. Again, this match, I truly believe this match got changed, but it is John Cena. It is AJ Styles. Obviously, Cena's last match in Australia. It might be Styles' last time in Australia, too, because he's going to retire next year. Who knows? But John Cena versus AJ Styles. Who will win? Who should win?
Nobody cares. Everybody wins.
This is a very good nobody cares, everybody wins match. That is very true.
It doesn't matter who wins. Like, honest to God, this is the epitome of a match that doesn't matter who wins or doesn't win. I'm going to say, because John has tended to err on the side of the tradition, that AJ should and will win, because of that's kind of the way that's my personal view of John Cena. Mm-hmm. And what he's been putting together with these matches, like, I just, like, since he handed the, you know, lost the belt, you know, he's kind of been putting the boys over, and he doesn't need to. Nobody needs to win this match to be blocked. Like, it can go to a double count out for all I care. And it's because they KO'd each other in some way. Like, who knows? But I think nobody should win. AJ Styles will win.
Nobody should win. I think AJ Styles should win this match. It's AJ Styles. Like, remember, this is the guy who was worried that people wouldn't even react to him debuting in WWE. Like, I think AJ should win this match. I don't know where the crowd's going to stand on this. Like, AJ is... he was adopted by the French fans, and everybody was like, oh my God, I can't believe the French fans love AJ Styles so much. It's because the chant has the word phenomenal in it. That's why they love AJ so much. But I think John Cena is going to win this match. I think he'll win this match. He'll do the babyface embrace afterwards. And then who knows what'll happen as they move forward. I don't know what John Cena is going to do with Survivor Series. He might be on a men's War Games team. Cena's never been in a War Games match, so I could see that happen. We'll worry about that when we get there. I could see Cena wanting to be in War Games, but yeah, I just think John Cena is going to win. So we have two matches for the Crown Jewel Championship, and the Crown Jewel Women's Championship. Patrick O'Dowd, we will start with the women. Stephanie Vaquer, the Raw Women's World Champion. And Tiffany Stratton, the SmackDown's WWE Women's Champion, go one-on-one. Somebody will win the gaudy, big, huge belt that Liv Morgan won last year. And then, of course, it just disappears for a year until it comes back for the next year's Crown Jewel. But this is their yearly tradition with Crown Jewel. Top champions face each other for another belt that is really just a trophy, not really a belt because it doesn't get defended. So Stephanie Vaquer, I guess it's my turn to go first. Stephanie Vaquer just won her title like 2 weeks ago and finally won her title after winning a battle royal and having to wait months for a title shot because of injuries and to people and all sorts of other stuff. And won her match in a classic with Io Sky when she was sick. It was like her flu game, all of that. Tiffany Stratton has held the SmackDown WWE Women's Championship going all the way back to the last SmackDown of 2024, which is, of course, the last SmackDown on Fox, which just so happened to be here in Phoenix, but that doesn't matter. And she did cash in Money in the Bank, and everybody loved it. So you got somebody who's held their belt for a couple weeks and somebody who's held it for almost a year. Tiffany Stratton is definitely a lot closer to losing her title than Stephanie Vaquer is to losing hers. Tiffany Stratton is made, in my opinion. Stephanie Vaquer is still being built. So to me, Stephanie Vaquer should win this match. Like it matters more for her to win. It matters more for her to have that. And as she moves forward and builds towards everyone's dream match of Stephanie Vaquer versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. And I think that's what they're going to do. I think Stephanie Vaquer is going to win this match. And Tiffany Stratton will go on to whatever she's going to do, probably losing her championship at some point soon. And then we'll see what they do with her after that. So that's what I'm going with. Stephanie Vaquer should win. Stephanie Vaquer will win. I am biased. She's, in my opinion, the best wrestler on the planet right now. So I'm going to pick her probably all the time, even if I shouldn't. So Patrick O'Dowd, what say you? Tiffany Stratton versus Stephanie Vaquer. Who will win or who should win? Who will win?
Well, I'm literally the opposite of what I just did with AJ Cena and say both should win. Okay. And both would benefit. I think we talked about this back when Stephanie won the belt in the first place, that it put them in an interesting place with this match as to who kind of quote unquote needs it more or who it works better for. But I do think ultimately you hit on the reality, and that is you're building Stephanie. She just won her belt. I don't know that if she loses this match, it's some major stumbling block or hurdle to her title reign, but it does sort of slow you down a little bit because you're wanting to have her be in a place where she can compete, where people can see her competing against a Rhea Ripley. And wanting to see that match and not, you know, making assumptions about the direction of that match. So I do think ultimately with that sort of roundabout way to get there, my should and would are right there with you. I think it's Stephanie Vaquer who should win and who will win.
Yeah, I agree, obviously, because I said the same thing. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do in general and how the crowd reacts, because both are popular baby faces so, you know, they're going to pick somebody. And sometimes the international crowds don't pick who you think they're going to pick. So we'll see. But I'm just glad that the push and the results for Stephanie Vaquer have proven me right. Because when her and Julia came in at the same time, everybody was like, Julia, Julia, Julia. And I was like, nope, Stephanie Vaquer is the one. And here we are. So Greg was right. Hashtag Greg was right.
She's a United States champion.
Ooh, wow. 100 days of a United States champion, too. She's an attack match.
No.
And she's in a she's going to Australia. She's in a tag match on SmackDown. So, and they might win.
Sure. Won't.
Finally, we have the WWE Crown Jewel, the Men's Crown Jewel Championship, where the undisputed SmackDown's undisputed WWE champion Cody Rhodes goes one-on-one with Raw's World Heavyweight Champion Seth freaking Rollins. This is kind of like Rollins versus Rhodes 4, I think, because they wrestled 3 times when Cody returned to WWE. Cody won all 3. Now they're both world champions, and here we are with Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins for the second men's crown jewel championship. Patrick O'Dowd, who should win? Who will win?
Seth Rollins and Seth Rollins. That, in my opinion, is who should win and who will win. This again, I need you to nod more emphatically so I know that I'm not frozen.
You are not frozen.
I appreciate that. There you go. Thank you very much. And to me, it just makes all the sense. Like, it's another one of those things that there's nothing that happens to Cody if he loses. And I don't need a Cody must pose moment at the end of Perth. Like, we just don't. What we do need, and what I think is where the crowd is going to go, because the crowd just does this with this guy. They're going to do both their theme songs. Like, because everybody does.
Oh, yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if the crowd is behind Seth throughout this anyway. I like that they've been doing this whole, you know, like Paul Heyman's like, you know, don't go back in there. He's in your head. Don't go get him. You know, and the Oracle proves right. And Cody's been a step ahead. I think that Rollins gets that back in this match, which is why I say that Rollins finally gets a win over Cody since post return.
Right. I am with you on all of that. I do think that Seth Rollins should win, and I do think that Seth Rollins will win, as Patrick O'Dowd is now once again frozen. But everything you said got out, Patrick O'Dowd, so you're good. I don't know if you saw Raw on Monday, but there was a promo. It's funny because they're doing this shtick right now where Becky Lynch is on fire about something and Rollins is not paying attention whatsoever, and he's not paying attention because he's obsessed with beating Cody Rhodes. Seth freaking Rollins' character is one of obsession, so it makes perfect sense. But he had a conversation with Paul Heyman that was very like, Paul Heyman was like, well, of course you're going to win. You're Seth freaking Rollins. You're going to win. And Seth Rollins like, what happens if I lose? And he's like, well, you're going to win. He's like, no, Paul, you need to, like, what if I lose? And so he was like, will Bron Breakker believe in you? Will Bronson Reed? Will you be leading the vision? Blah, blah, blah. And Seth's like, okay. And Heyman begins to leave. And Rollins grabs him and he pulls him back. And he was like, you didn't say anything about Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman was like, if you lose, I need to question if I made the wrong choice at WrestleMania in leaving Roman Reigns for you. And it's just like, there, obviously Rollins could lose and go on a warpath and a rampage and all that kind of stuff, and it'd be great. But Rollins has been that like pillar of the company. Rollins has been the backbone of so many things. And he was literally Cody Rhodes' shield at WrestleMania 40 when Cody finally won the title. And it was all because of Seth Rollins. And they brought that up in the promos, and Rollins was like, I didn't do that for you. I did that because I hate Roman Reigns. And I love that about him, and I hope they keep with that and make them be mortal enemies forever. But Rollins just needs this win to cement all of the things that he is to the company, in my opinion, from a non-kayfabe sense. Now, the company might tell you otherwise, that Rollins is already a made man, already whatever, but I feel like if Cody wins this match, it's another instance of LOL Cody wins. And we don't need that. So I just feel like Rollins, like, this is the time and the place. If you do a lifetime series between Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes will probably come out on top, especially on televised and PLE matches. But I think this one has to go Seth Rollins' way, just in terms of his position in the company, what he's doing, everything else. Maybe it's because I don't want to deal with a storyline where the Vision is all doubting Seth Rollins. That might be part of it, because right. I don't want to watch that. I don't need.
And Becky really Lynch need that. This. I still feel like this is relatively early in the Vision's lifespan.
It really is. Like, I don't think Bronson Reed or Bron Breakker should be fighting Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, like I've seen some people suggest. Like, maybe WrestleMania 43, but not WrestleMania 42. That should be Rollins and Reigns. I just think Rollins needs to win this match and relatively clean. Like there could be some interference. There could be some distraction. There can be whatever, but like, you don't need it to be crazy shenanigans. That should be earlier for the ambulance match. So maybe they do something where in the ambulance match, all these people get involved, including Rollins. And so Cody gets out there and Cody inadvertently gets hurt. And so now he's at a disadvantage in the match. And that's why Rollins wins. I'm fine with that too. So who knows? All right. We are going to cut the show off at this point because Patrick O'Dowd has declared that he is done. We have been dealing with issues galore.
I've been so frozen this whole show.
You have. You have been very frozen this whole show. And here's the thing. We're still at 53 minutes. So do me a favor. Go to Twitter. Follow at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist for the Wrestling Realist Patrick O'Dowd. I'm at Greg DeMarco 44. The webshot is at Chairshot Media for all things podcasts, articles, and so much more right here at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
We will try to have better internet for Patrick next week and make it all happen. But until then, just enjoy yourselves. Enjoy Crown Jewel. I'm going to go watch some NXT and see what happened. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.